Hello, everybody. This is Scott Yates, Director of Communications and Producer Relations for the Washington Grain Commission, here with episode 60 of Weed All About It, or what I'm calling Here Today, Japan Tomorrow, about the very real possibility of losing a substantial portion of our longtime Japanese wheat market. When I started this podcast a little more than a year ago, I saw it as not only a source of information and entertainment about the wheat industry, but as a potential early warning system. While I can wait as long as a month and a half to get information into the industry magazine Wheat Life, due to its advanced deadlines and publishing schedule, I can get a podcast out in a matter of days. In the case of the information contained in this podcast, listeners are going to be at least 2 weeks ahead of everybody else in understanding the latest challenge to confront the industry. In which case, I'm asking all of you out there in Weed All About It land to be sure to tell your neighbors, landlords, business associates, and politicians about this podcast and encourage them to listen to episode 60. Although research is where the WGC invests the bulk of the assessment income that comes from the sale of each bushel of wheat produced in the state, marketing is where we spend most of our time. All of you listening to my voice now realize relationships are important. I don't care whether you're talking about relationships with your parents, your children, or your partner. Relationships matter, and cultivating relationships with our overseas customers is among the best things we do here at the WGC. We first learned about the importance of building relationships with overseas markets 60 years ago in Japan. Although it's fair to say all of the countries we work in are important, over the long haul, Japan has been the most important, purchasing significantly more U.S. wheat than any other country in the world since 1949. For farmers in the Pacific Northwest, Japan holds a special place for its consistent support of soft white wheat production. It is no exaggeration to say that while Oregon farmers pioneered the Japanese market, it was the Japanese themselves who pioneered our soft white wheat exports to the rest of the Pacific Rim. Over the last 60 years, hundreds of teams of Americans and Japanese have crisscrossed the Pacific Ocean to ensure the relationship between us would never grow stale. Other Japanese companies, seeing the strength of the relationship wheat had built, piggybacked on our success, buying or building grain facilities that not only serviced their own country, but many other countries as well. So it is with a lot of anxiety and a little irritation that I tell you we are on a glide path toward losing a substantial portion of the Japanese market. White wheat exports will be impacted severely along with dark northern spring exports, with hard red winter wheat exports potentially taking the biggest hit. What's going on? Let me try to explain. A year ago, in January 2017, making good on a campaign promise, President Trump withdrew from the Trans-Pacific Partnership Trade Treaty, also known as TPP. This was a move that the wheat industry lobbied against at the time and has continued to lobby against since. As originally envisioned, the TPP treaty would have included 12 countries around the Pacific Rim, including the U.S. When Trump withdrew, the 11 remaining countries decided to try and negotiate a trade treaty among themselves. The pundits didn't think they stood a chance without America's center of gravity. And yet, a year to the day after Trump announced the TPP withdrawal, the 11 remaining TPP countries declared they had come to an agreement. Those countries include Australia, Brunei, Canada, Chile, Japan, Malaysia, Mexico, New Zealand, Peru, Singapore, and Vietnam. Just three are important for our purposes in this podcast: Australia, Canada, and Japan. You see, Australia and Canada are our most fierce competitors in the world's higher quality wheat markets. Currently, the U.S. owns an average of 50% of the 3 million metric ton Japanese market, with the rest shared between Canada and Australia. But under the TPP-11 deal, that will change. Canada and Australia will receive priority treatment in the form of a yearly ratcheting down of a Japanese markup, what is essentially a tariff that the government there imposes on all wheat imports. In 9 years, the full impact of the reduction will be felt when Australian and Canadian wheat will be imported into Japan at approximately a $65 a ton advantage to U.S. wheat. In other words, Japanese flour mills will pay a significantly lower cost for their wheat than for our wheat. Of course, we're not just talking wheat here. We're talking money in wheat farmers' pockets. Preliminary numbers indicate hundreds of millions of dollars could be lost. In case you've forgotten, Japan was the Pacific Northwest's number two market for soft white wheat in the 2016-2017 marketing year, and the number one market for club wheat. For 5 of the last 10 years, the country was the number one market for soft white. Meanwhile, Japan was ranked the number three market for U.S. hard red spring wheat and the number four market for hard red winter. And not only do they buy consistently, month after month, they pay cash. Most of Japan's wheat from the Pacific Northwest comes in the form of Western White, the 20% club, 80% soft white blend. Other countries like South Korea and Taiwan gave up on importing club when premiums topped $5 a bushel a few years ago. But Japan has remained steadfast in its devotion for the special softness of club, a type of wheat they see as the secret ingredient needed to produce the sponge cakes the country is famous for. Many of you might be thinking now that 9 years to the final tariff reduction is a long time, and a lot can change in 9 years. I, too, want to believe there's still time to fix things, but the lower tariff for Canadian and Australian wheat will begin to phase in shortly after the treaty is signed in March, with the bite starting soon after. Beyond restructuring the Japanese market, it's important to consider that all the rest of the countries in Southeast Asia look to Japan as the preeminent authority in the milling and baking industries. I'm not thrilled those nations could now be observing a Japan that is moving predominantly toward using Canadian and Australian wheat flour in its products. I'm hoping somebody can pull a rabbit out of their hat before Chicken Little's complaint about a falling sky actually occurs. The main somebody needed to change the current direction is, of course, President Trump, a man whose election shows that he can do just about anything if he sets his mind to the task at hand. But the Japanese market is ultimately about more than market share and the bottom line. It's about 60 years of goodwill, relationship building, and yes, millions of dollars of funding from U.S. wheat associates, state wheat commissions, and the U.S. government going to waste. Squandered might be a better word, and of course, much of that money came through farmers themselves. Although Japan is the priority right now, Vietnam is another huge potential market for U.S. wheat. Once again, because of the country's membership in the TPP-11, Australia and Canada will receive preferential treatment there. Not to mention Chile, another TPP-11 member, which was one of our top 10 markets for soft white wheat in the 2016-2017 marketing year. I should also mention that other countries are now looking into joining the TPP, such as Indonesia, a nation that is on a trajectory to surpass Egypt as the world's largest importer of wheat. Without a doubt, that's a country where we want to be on a level playing field. For those of you who listen to the podcast of speakers I recorded during the 2017 Tri-State Grain Growers Convention, you might feel that it was the threat of withdrawing from NAFTA, the North American Free Trade Agreement, that was the sword hanging over our heads. Indeed, NAFTA withdrawal would be a major calamity given that Mexico recently replaced Japan as the number one buyer of U.S. wheat, but because we export very little there, the damage to the Northwest would be limited and in the form of lower prices. The TPP-11 fallout via Japan, however, would be in our face. Don't forget, while Japan is currently our second biggest importer, the country has historically been the Pacific Northwest's dominant buyer of wheat. Although I knew the TPP-11 negotiations were happening, since everyone gave them such little chance of success, I didn't think they would become the Northwest's potential Achilles heel. Like a magician focusing his audience's attention on the treaty in his right hand, it was the treaty in his left that held the real surprise. I've been thinking of the Northwest's conundrum pretty regularly over the last 2 weeks, looking for potential silver linings. It's possible, of course, Japanese millers and bakers will continue to request Western white for their sponge cakes and other products based on its quality, performance, and relative lack of supply elsewhere. Damn the price. However, if there's one thing I have learned in my wheat education, it's that while relationships matter, they only matter so long as the prices are within a narrow range. I also know that millers are incredibly resourceful at blending wheats and using additives to make up for variable performance, which is exactly what millers and bakers in Japan have told us they could do if this train is not derailed. Furthermore, the sky will not fall tomorrow. But just to be clear, the Pacific Northwest is currently on a track that does not end well for our relationship with Japan. That's why it's so important that President Trump uses his negotiating skills to get the U.S. back to the TPP table and get a deal done. Doing so would not only be a terrific achievement for the administration, but for our farmers, our state, our nation, and our Japanese customers. As I was preparing this podcast, leadership from the Washington Grain Commission, the Washington Association of Wheat Growers, U.S. Wheat Associates, and other state organizations were in Washington, D.C., meeting with legislators, agencies, and administration officials about this crucial topic. As the foremost issue now facing our industry, it is consuming an immense amount of time. In a phone call from my boss, Glenn Squire, CEO of the WGC, he told me, and this is a quote, "President Trump is the only person who can make this right, and I'm hoping that by using all the negotiation expertise at his disposal, that he will get us back into the TPP. The bottom line of all of us who work in the wheat industry is to work on behalf of farmers, and although farmers and landlords will take the biggest hit from remaining out of the TPP, every business with a connection to the industry will feel the reverberations. It's not just Washington wheat that is reliant on trade. A substantial portion of the foundation of Washington agriculture in general is built on international commerce, whether you're talking about peas, lentils, apples, alfalfa, beef, cherries, you get the point. We're up here in the far left corner of the country, not exactly centrally located to feed the masses of America, but we are perfectly positioned to feed the masses outside of America. Consider that the Washington State Department of Agriculture recently pegged the value of food and agricultural products exported overseas annually from the Evergreen State at $6.8 billion. That's billion with a B. Those in the Japanese milling and baking industries have no more interest in changing horses than we do. Again and again, our Japanese counterparts have urged the U.S. to join the TPP. But when the idea of a bilateral agreement between the U.S. and Japan was recently raised, something the president talked about earlier, there was simply no interest. My career as an agricultural reporter for 22 years with the Capital Press taught me a lot, but I was always on the sidelines. Part of being a reporter is a semblance of objectivity, or at least it was when I was part of the profession. Now, as Director of Communications and Producer Relations for the last 10 years at the WGC, I am a player on the field. Whether it's dams on the river, new technology, or U.S. trade snafus, I've got a vested interest in the industry in a way a journalist doesn't. Wheat farmers are my peeps, and I want all of us to succeed. But I don't see how it's possible when the most important tool we have, trade, is being used against us. I remind you of the old adage about real estate. What are the three elements determining a house price? Location, location, location. Let's change that here to, what are the three elements determining Pacific Northwest wheat farmers' success? Trade, trade, trade. Trump has recently indicated he is open to rejoining the TPP if a better deal can be accomplished, and some of the other countries are open to a U.S. return as well. They recognize, as we do, the value of having the U.S. as part of a larger trading bloc, not to mention the importance of U.S. farmers having the same privileges, that same level playing field, as their Canadian and Australian brethren. Where do we go from here? First, we've all got to realize that despite the political rhetoric, trade is right up there with capitalism for America's success. Yes, everyone wants fair trade, but in a world that is changing daily because of technology, we cannot expect to be the best at everything. As a result, there are industries that will thrive and industries that will not. The trick is to facilitate a world in which trade enriches the largest proportion of the population, while those who are impacted negatively are retrained for the higher-skilled world that is our reality. U.S. agriculture, with its exports abroad, provides a positive contribution to the U.S. trade balance. Where there are negative trade balances with particular countries, working out policy differences shouldn't disadvantage agricultural producers. President Trump is the person who holds the key to getting the deal done and keeping U.S. agriculture and wheat in particular competitive, or using one of his favorite words, great. The wheat industry has a great story to tell about building relationships in Japan while providing food, jobs, and economic value. I hope the president sees his way forward to allowing this great narrative to continue. It's true we've lost markets before, such as Iran and Pakistan, and survived to fight again. But restructuring the Japanese market to advantage our competitors feels different. For a host of reasons, I'm concerned that we don't have any idea of the known unknowns, let alone the unknown unknowns, a phrase made famous by Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld in talking about the conduct of the war in Iraq. This podcast is knowledge. You listening now have the power. Speak out for yourself and your own self-interest, but also do it for our customers and the industry as a whole. The Japanese like us. They don't want to have to make the difficult decision to undo the market development work of the very people who helped build their country's milling and baking industry in the first place. They have asked us to please tell the story of what is happening. So don't just intend to write a letter or make a phone call to your political representatives. As an Oregon State-based business puts it, just do it! That's not all the time we have, but it's all I have to say, so thanks for listening. And if you haven't gotten the point already, let me rephrase it one more time. This is one of the most important challenges we have faced as an industry, and it can only be solved by President Trump. Once again, please tell your neighbors, landlords, business associates, and politicians about this podcast and encourage them to listen to Episode 60, or what I've entitled, Here Today, Japan Tomorrow, about the TPP trade agreement that finds the U.S. standing outside the fence. Please join me again next time for another episode of Wheat All About It! We're all children of a special treat, a miracle of nature that we just call wheat. A crop that's in the Bible, a crop that's in our bread, a crop that's filled our bellies and held us in good stead. Through a history of starvation and times of want and woe, a wheat has been our savior, our grub, our gruel, our dough. There's always lots of problems when we have enough to eat. But there's only one dilemma when there's not enough wheat. We feed you.